Please go ahead and take your Bibles out with me. Open them up to Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 10. Look at verses 13 through 16. Mark chapter 10. Beginning in verse 13, Mark has this to say. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord. Father, we thank you, we praise you. Thank you for this wonderful section of Scripture. And Lord, how you want to speak to our hearts, Father, concerning children, little children, those that you created in your image and your likeness. And we pray, Father, as we deal with this subject of children, that we could learn some new truths here this morning based upon your word, and that you will be glorified in it all, and that we will have a different view of children ourselves, Lord. It's in Jesus' precious name, all God's people said. Amen. Amen. This is a brief section of Scripture, but is very, very important. In fact, it's only four verses. It's important because it answers the question of what happens to infants and toddlers when they die. The answer that Jesus gave is that the kingdom of God belongs to little children when against the current view of apostate Judaism. The religious leaders in Jesus' day taught that obeying the law and doing good works was essential to salvation. And since small children could not do this, it was foolish to think that they would enter the kingdom of God, that is, the salvation realm of heaven. The salvation of little children is a powerful illustration of how anyone's saved, and that's simply by grace, by God's grace. And I want to reveal it to you based upon Scripture this morning, that when an infant or a young child dies prematurely, they go straight to heaven. So this morning we're going to see that in our text. Again, four verses that take place. And I entitled the message this morning, "The Kingdom of God Belongs to Little Children." Little children. So let me give you the setting before we actually dig in. If you were with us last week, Jesus spoke about marriage. He was posed a question by the Pharisees looking for a way out or an excuse concerning divorce. And we saw last week that Jesus had a high view of marriage, a very high view of marriage. And he called not only the religious leaders, but the culture to also have a high view of marriage. And the disciples learned something by that. And the disciples are going to learn something this morning about little children, little kids. So the lesson is for all people, particularly the disciples, and we're going to draw application in our own lives this morning. Jesus has been preaching to the crowds. We saw that back in chapter 10, verse 1, the message of salvation. And he was healing people, and you got to picture the scene there. Lots of people there. And so that's kind of our foundation as we look at our text this morning. So let's begin in verse 13. Then they, that is the parents, brought little children to him that he might touch them. Picture the scene. Massive crowd of people. Many people entering the kingdom of God, the realm of salvation. And there are parents in the crowd that are bringing little children before Jesus. What a glorious event. Little kids. The parents there are no doubt thrilled because Jesus is there. And this leads really to our first point this morning, the special blessing. The special blessing. The blessing of little children goes way back to the book of Genesis. The blessing began with parents. You frequently see this in the Old Testament where the parents, particularly the father, would bless their children. In fact, if you go back to Genesis chapter 9, you see that Noah blessed his children. Shem, his son, Japheth, his son, Noah blessed them post-flood. And after they were blessed, they began to scatter throughout the world because God had flooded the earth. And now the population begins with Noah and his sons. So we see that in Genesis chapter 9 with Noah blessing his children. We also see it with Isaac. Remember Isaac? He blessed his children. Genesis chapter 27. He went and he blessed his son Jacob. The blessing came to Jacob by Isaac, the father. And we see that Jacob in return blessed his children. If you remember, Jacob had 12 children. Genesis chapter 49, verse 28, he blessed those 12 children, which are known as the tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel, Jacob blessed them. So we see the blessing came from the parents in the Old Testament way back in the book of Genesis. And the blessing continued as Jewish parents brought their children, their little children, to see the rabbi in the synagogue. And parents wanted their children to be blessed by God through the rabbi because they wanted God's favor for their little children. Just like you would want favor in your own life, these parents would bring their children to the rabbi and want the blessing of God and favor of God for their children. Not only God's favor, but that one day their children would know the true and living God, and that one day they themselves, like the parents, would have eternal life. So we see this go down through the centuries, through the parents, as they went to their rabbis for the blessing. And here, many parents in the crowd brought their children to Jesus. They wanted Jesus to bless their children. Again, what a beautiful event that's taken place. I would have loved to have been there. I would have loved to have been a parent at that time, bringing my child to Jesus, for Jesus to bless them, to have favor, to pray over the child. What a glorious event that takes place. Now, it's interesting in verse 3a, it says that they brought little children to him. The word little children here in the original language means, in general, children. Mark just pens children. But in Luke's gospel, which also records this event, Luke tells us that specifically they brought infants and toddlers. That's the Greek word in Luke. Infants and toddlers to Jesus. Glorious event. Parents come, bring their little infants, child. I could picture the father having the children in their arms. Mom and dad are proud coming to Jesus. But then the scene changes here. And we come to our second point, from the second special blessing to the sharp rebuke. I want you to look at the sharp rebuke here. in verse 13b. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Here's the 12. Rebuking the parents and the child that were present. Now, I don't know their motives, their pure motives, but I've got to think that part of the reason they're doing this is because they saw it as an interruption during Jesus' ministry. You know, leave the master alone. He's got other things to do. Kind of buzz off in modern vernacular, because it does use the word rebuke. And they also saw that children were unimportant, at least to Jesus. The word rebuke here is a strong word. In the Greek language, it's used also in previous passages that we've already studied in Mark's gospel. You might remember in Mark chapter 4, verse 39, when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, a great windstorm arose. And we're told in the text that Jesus rebuked the wind. Same word. As the disciples rebuked the parents, it's the same word as when Jesus rebuked the wind to get it to stop. Strong word. The word is also used when Jesus rebuked a demon. Back in Mark chapter 9, you might remember, there was a father who brought his son who was mute, who foamed from the mouth, and was thrown into a fire by a demonic being. And the text says that Jesus rebuked the demon. Same Greek word as the disciples rebuking the parents and the children. So there was a sharp, sharp rebuke by the disciples. Again, don't know the motives fully, but nevertheless, they did rebuke the children. And this leads us to our third point, which we're going to delve into a little bit deeper this morning. It is the salvation example. The salvation example. Look with me at verse 14. When Jesus saw it, that is the rebuking of the parents and children, he was greatly displeased. He was greatly displeased. That's an understatement. Jesus was angry. Jesus was greatly displeased, if you will, angry. Why? Why was Jesus angry at the disciples? Well, number one, because of their harsh and zealous rebuke concerning children. And secondly, not only because of the harsh rebuke, but also because of forbidding the children to come to him. Because Jesus loved children. Jesus absolutely loved children. This is why in the text in verse 14 it says, "Let them come to me." Guys, you need to let the little children come to me. Why? He continues in verse 14, "For such is the kingdom of God." The kingdom of God is a reference to the sphere of salvation. He's saying, let them come to me because children belong to the kingdom. It's important to catch that. The kingdom of God belongs to little children. I want you to notice that Jesus doesn't ask their parents if their children were circumcised. Now, according to the law in Genesis chapter 17, it was required on the eighth day that the male children had to be circumcised. Strong law of God on the eighth day. Jesus doesn't ask the parents that. The Jews believed that circumcision was part of your salvation. In fact, we have a whole book, the book of Galatians, which speaks about the Judaizers coming into the church saying, you better circumcise your kids because that's part of salvation. We have a whole book rebuking that because salvation is by grace. Jesus didn't find out if the children were baptized. Notice that. He didn't ask, did you baptize your child? That's key to catch that. Because in the church today, there are some who believe children have to be baptized in order to get to heaven. If the church doesn't give them the baptismal rite, your child will not enter into heaven. There are some that teach that in the church. And notice, Jesus didn't ask if the children were Jewish or Gentiles. He didn't ask that because there were some Gentiles that converted to Judaism. So they're more than likely were Gentiles. He didn't ask them, by the way, is he a Gentile? Is she a Gentile? Didn't ask that. It's important to catch that. Why? Because the kingdom belongs to little children. Babies are unable to believe. Toddlers are unable to believe. Not only are they unable to believe the gospel, they are unable to discern right from wrong. If you're with me, say amen. This is a comforting truth that little babies are part of the kingdom of God. It's a comforting truth to those who have lost children. I can still remember till this day. I was probably about 4 years in the Lord. I was at my grandparents' house, and the next door neighbor, her name was Carol. I remember having a conversation with Carol, and out of nowhere, I'm not sure what spurred this out of her heart, but she began to share that she had a little boy. And she told me that the baby died in the crib. We call it crib death, right? She began to cry. She liked me. I liked her. She's a sweet woman, older woman. She began to pour her heart to me. She said the baby wasn't baptized. They're a Roman from a traditional church. I told her that, you know, babies can't believe. Your baby's in heaven. Rest assured that your child is in heaven. She began to weep even more. I was just a baby Christian. But it was comforting to her to hear that. And I hope that that remains till this day. It's been about 35 years. She's probably still alive somewhere. But I hope that brought comfort to her. And it should. It should bring comfort to women who have had abortions. Because at the moment of conception, you have life. There are women who have had abortions, and the next thing you know, they come to Christ, and they wonder, is my baby in heaven? According to Mark chapter 10, those babies are in heaven. They're unable to believe. They're unable to trust. They're unable to discern right from wrong. Now, it's important to understand that this doesn't mean that children are born sinless. They're not. As one pastor said, as cute as babies are, they're a viper in a diaper. They're born. From the moment of conception, a child is tainted with sin. Psalm 51, verse 5, David stated these words. He said, "For I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." You catch that? Right at conception, David is acknowledging, I was sinful. Mankind is sinful. Just because they aren't able to believe the gospel or discern right from wrong. Yes, they do go to heaven, but they're sinners by birth. Psalm 58, verse 3, "Even from birth the wicked go astray. From the womb they are wayward, spreading lies." You say, okay, Pastor Chuck,
What's the proof? What's the proof that infants are sinners at conception? You know what the proof is? You and me. You and me. We were one time infants, toddlers, and we grew up. And we grew up sinners. We grew up breaking the law. We're all sinners. It's the evidence of conception. And so are infants. And the reason why infants and toddlers are in heaven is solely, and you got to catch this, the grace of God. God's grace. Yes, they couldn't make a choice. Yes, they can't discern right from wrong, good or bad. They're saved by grace, just like you are, by the way, by grace. You're saved by the grace of God. God reaching down to you. It's the same way with infants. Infants are saved by the grace of God. Now, this morning, I want to look at some passages in the Old Testament that gives us the view of the innocence of children, okay? Sinners, yes, but innocence as far as choices are concerned. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39, we see that the Lord was speaking to Joshua's descendants who are going to go into the promised land. And he states in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39, that your children who are going to go into the promised land have no knowledge of good or evil. We see that way back in the law of God in the book of Deuteronomy. Jeremiah chapter 19, verses 4 through 5. Some of you may remember the story. King Ahaz was the king. He was a wicked, wicked king. And he led Israel astray to worship false gods, particularly the god Baal. And what was the practice of worshipers of Baal? They would take their infant babies and throw them into the flame. If you truly love your children, the greatest sacrifice you can do is offer them into the fire to me, Baal, a false god. And they led Israel astray. And next thing you know, Israel is throwing their babies into the fire to try to please or appease this deity called Baal. By the way, we have Baal worshipers today. It's Planned Parenthood. Still real. But it's fascinating when you look at Jeremiah's companion of the day, which is Ezekiel. We are told in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 21, speaking of these children, God called these children who were sacrificed, ready? My children. They're mine. Couldn't make a choice for good, for bad. They're my children. They're the property of God. Even though they were thrown into the fire, they're my children. Why? Because they're in a state of innocence. Innocence. You might remember the story of Jonah in the Old Testament. God withheld his judgment in part because of little children. Remember Jonah back in the Old Testament? He goes and he tells the Ninevites, repent. And the Ninevites repented. The city repented. And Jonah was angry. Jonah was furious because they were Gentiles and because they were wicked and pagan. And it's fascinating that when God closes this book of Jonah, he mentions the little children. He says, we have 120,000 children who could not discern their right hand from their left hand. And you're mad at me, Jonah, because I didn't pronounce judgment and destroy them? In part for the little children. They're God's children. Yeah, but they're pagans. They're God's children. They're image bearers. Yeah, but they're in a wicked culture, wicked city. They worship false. They're God's children. Amen?
Amen.
They're image bearers. And of course, you might remember the story in 2 Samuel chapter 12. The time when David had a relationship, sexual relationship with Bathsheba. And of course, Bathsheba gave birth to a son. David is grieved because the son dies. And David responded and said this, I shall go to him, speaking of his son, which is in heaven. I shall go to him, and he shall not return to me. This is a little infant that died. Where was David's son after he died? Heaven. Unable to choose. David had another son previously by the name of Absalom. He was a bad son. He lived his life out and was sinful. But this little boy, who the Lord took to heaven, never had a chance to choose right from wrong, good from evil. David's son is in heaven. And by the way, one day you'll meet him. So we see clearly the kingdom of God belongs to little children. Look with me at verse 15. Jesus said, assuredly I say to you. And when he says assuredly, he's being emphatic. Some of your translations may say, verily, verily. Remember Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, you must be born again. Right? Verily, verily. He's saying, you better catch what I'm saying. Verse 15, he's saying, catch what I'm saying. I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. This is the crowd all around. He's telling the crowd, you have to be like a little child, an infant or toddler, to enter into the kingdom. Who's in the crowd as well? The religious leaders and those that followed the religious leaders. He's saying you've got to be like a little child to enter in. Children aren't prideful. Men, you and me this morning are prideful. We want in some way, shape, or form to work our way to heaven. Mankind wants to do that, wants to justify himself before God and say, I'm a good person. I do good deeds. God will surely balance out the good and the bad, and I will get there by my good deeds. See, a little child doesn't respond like that. A little child is humble, right? A little child is dependent. A little child wants food from mommy or daddy. A little child wants his or her diaper changed. See the humility? You need your parents. I need my mom. I need clothing. Children aren't prideful. They're humble. They're dependent on their parents. Jesus is saying, You've got to be like a little child in a sense of humility, humbleness. By the way, children can't save themselves. They can't. Man thinks that he can. Man thinks that they could pull themselves by the bootstrap. We're going to make it in. Children can't save themselves. Think of a little child that, you know, scrapes the knee, hurts themselves. They realize they can't do anything to fix it, right? They cry. And who do they cry out to? Mom and dad. Little children cry to mom and dad. It hurts. They can't say it hurts, but it hurts. And mom and dad do what? They kiss their little boo-boo. Oh, it'll be better. Oh, They can't save themselves. They can't take care of the problem. They depend on their parents. Jesus says you've got to be like a little child. You've got to depend on God according to his standards like a little child. See, salvation by grace alone was a death blow to the religious leaders. They couldn't handle that. They just couldn't get it. That's why they had, when they looked at little children, they're basically like, it's absurd to think that they're going to enter into the kingdom of God. It's absurd. Religious leaders felt you had to be good. You had to keep the law of God. You had to get circumcised. It was a death blow to them. They couldn't accept it. It's not that the Old Testament taught that. It's just that Judaism at this time was apostate. And by the way, it's a death blow to the religious systems of the world. It's a death blow. Because every religious system, in some way, shape, or form, teaches that you've got to be good in order to enter the kingdom of God. You've got to do some good deed. And if you're part of a religious system that is based on reincarnation, well, it's if you do good, you'll reincarnate into a higher form in the next life. But it's based on your good deeds. If you're part of Islam, well, you've got to submit to Allah and his law, and one day, if your good works outweigh your bad, maybe you'll enter in. But I tell you what, the best way to enter in for sure is commit jihad. You'll get in there, and that's straight from Satan. Satan gets them to destroy your life, say, you're done. And they go to hell on a faster road than the average person because they commit jihad. It's the religious systems of the world. You've got to be like a little child. You've got to be humble. You've got to get rid of pride. And you got to realize you can't save yourself. Guys, salvation is by grace through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift. It's free. Just turn from sin, turn to Christ. He'll forgive you of all your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness, make you a new creation, make you a new person. Now you can worship God in faith, by faith. So go to the last verse here. And I love this. And he took them up in his arms. Jesus had that little one in his arms. Takes them up in his arms. And laid his hands on them. Very cultural back then. Laid his hands on them and blessed them. He's like, don't reject them. Let them come to me. Picture him, big smile on his face. Look at this beautiful one. My father made in his image and likeness. You're just so cute. You know that? You got a picture of the scene. Could you imagine your child, your grandchild, someone close to you that has a child? They're just so cute. Yeah, a wiper and a diaper. Yeah. But they're cute. They're cute. They're beautiful. And Jesus blessed them. And in the Greek, it means he blessed them over and over and over. Puts his hand for them. No doubt prayed for them. Blessed them over and over. God's favor upon your children. God's favor upon you, parents. This is the heart of Jesus concerning children. So as the worship team comes forward, just a couple of closing comments. Clearly, Scripture teaches that infants and toddlers, if they were to pass away early, no matter who they're born to, Jew, Gentile, righteous family, unrighteous family, they're in the kingdom. Take comfort in that. By the way, use that. Use this section of Scripture to comfort those who have lost children at a young age, to those who are hurting, to those who maybe had an abortion. God will cleanse that sin too, you know. He'll forgive that sin. There's only one sin that God will not forgive. That's the rejection of his son, Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, is to reject Jesus Christ. So this morning, now you know the truth. You could be set free, or you can share it with somebody to set them free. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for babes. For out of babes you've ordained praise. We're grateful for babes because we are once babes. We're made in your image and your likeness. Thank you so much for that, Lord. Thank you for loving them. Thank you for grace. The same grace that saved us is the same grace that will save them. And Lord, we rejoice in that. And we thank you. In Jesus' precious name, all of God's people said, amen. Amen.